11 minutes past 6. This is the career highlight that very quickly became a nightmare. A nightmare well beyond anything they could possibly have anticipated. I'm talking about the Sydney FM radio Royal Prank, a prank call. A saga that has somehow wound its way to the tragic death of the nurse who put the call through, the prank call through to ward staff at the King Edward VII Hospital in London. Now, the hosts in question are Mel Grieg and Michael Christian. They're about to tell their story to commercial television in about 20 minutes or so, and we'll monitor that, and if there's anything really important or interesting in that, we'll bring that to you. But here's just a very short snippet of that interview that's been released in advance.
Fortunately, I remember that moment very well because I haven't stopped thinking about it since it happened, and I remember my first question was she a mother?
That's to the Today FM host Mel Grieg speaking there. Scotland Yard has launched an investigation. Our Communications Minister Stephen Conroy has confirmed that Australia's independent broadcasting regulator, the Australian Communication and Media Authority, has received complaints about the hoax call, and so presumably, there'll be a decision about whether or not it breached the commercial radio code of practice. It's going to be up to the regulator to decide that, of course. Today FM says that it will review its internal processes for these sorts of calls. In this case, of course, it's all a little bit late. Now, I should point out there are some things we don't know about this. It hasn't yet, at least as far as I'm aware, been confirmed that the death in question was even a suicide. And if it was, it hasn't been confirmed that it was linked solely to this prank call. We simply don't know those things. But the conversation is proceeding, really, on the basis that we do, pretty much, and that those connections are there. Are we just a bit bloodthirsty about this? There's no doubt you want to talk about it. Looking at our Facebook page, the thread is huge. Are we a bit bloodthirsty about it? Or are there real questions to answer on the way that commercial radio goes about its business? Let's get some perspective on this story now. I'm joined by Mark Day, one of the first broadcasters on Today FM. He's a former part owner of the ACE Victorian Radio Network and a media commentator now for the Australian newspaper. Mark, what do you make of the cultural questions that surround FM radio at the moment in relation to this?
Good afternoon, Waleed. It's very interesting. Obviously, we are seeing a human tragedy play out right in front of our eyes. The kids going on television tonight is, I think, a good strategic move from their point of view because it will show them up as vulnerable and very contrite in the extreme, distressed young people. But I think in the wider scheme of things, we're seeing an entirely new force in society, and this is the individual's ability to strike back and have a say and be heard forcefully, and forcefully where it matters. So financially, we saw it with the Alan Jones, the backlash to Alan Jones's remark about the Prime Minister's father, and we're seeing it again that a radio station has been forced to forego large amounts of money. We don't know how big it'll be because we don't know how long it'll last.
Well, it's only temporary, though.
This is all happening on the basis of the people fighting back, and this is new.
But in the Alan Jones case, for example, it was all over relatively quickly. I mean, in the life of the station, it's not really going to have any impact. The ratings are up and the advertisers are back. Today FM's been through this before as well.
The same situation might apply here.
Yeah.
But we're only 3 days into this. The Alan Jones thing ran a week, you know.
We've been discussing this a lot in the office, and it's been really difficult for us to get our head around exactly how to approach this story and exactly what it means. One of the issues that we've sort of been floating, and I'll put my hand up and say this was an issue that I was particularly interested in, is whether or not the whole radio culture of prank calls itself has a kind of toxicity to it, that it's a form of entertainment that trades really on the humiliation of people, particularly vulnerable people.
Yeah, look, I think you're right, but I ask the question, would you be even thinking about this, much less discussing it, if we hadn't had this entirely unpredictable outcome? These calls have been going on and entertaining their audiences for years, perhaps not on Radio National, I'll concede that, but yes. there is a sector of the audience that enjoys this stuff, and it works for radio, and if it works, they do it, and they do it again. And they have been doing it for years, And quite clearly, I think it's fair to say, breaching the codes of practice that govern this kind of thing on a regular basis, and nobody giving a damn, certainly not the regulator. Now, suddenly, everything's different, and the whole thing is being turned over and it'll be subjected in the next few days to forensic examination.
Well, let's pick up on that point. Rhys Holleran, who's the CEO of Austereo Southern Cross Radio, the owners of Today FM, was speaking on Fairfax Radio this morning. This is a bit of what he said.
It is absolutely true to say that we actually did attempt to contact those people on multiple occasions.
Really? To get approval?
We rang them up to discuss what we had recorded.
Before it went to air?
Absolutely. We couldn't. We tried. We attempted to contact them on no less than five occasions.
Why?
Because we did want to speak to them about it.
So did you have some reservations at some level somewhere about putting it to air?
Oh, Neil, look, I think that's a process that we follow, and we have checks and balances on all these things.
That's Rhys Holleran, CEO of Austereo Southern Cross Radio, speaking to Neil Mitchell on 3RW earlier in the day. Now, I'm interested, Mark, in you saying that the code has been breached.
Yeah.
Is it your view and your understanding that there is a breach of the code, even though they do try, or they did try in that case, they're saying five times, to get in touch with the relevant party?
I'm not a lawyer, and you know what media lawyers are like. But there were two sections of the Commercial Radio Code of Practice, Section 6 and 9, which deal with these unauthorised broadcast of unauthorised statements by identifiable persons and that sort of thing. Section 6 says a licensee must not broadcast the words of an identifiable person unless that person has been informed in advance or a reasonable person would be aware that the words may be broadcast. That's point one. And point two, in the case of words which have been recorded without the knowledge of that person has subsequently, but prior to the broadcast, expressed consent to the broadcast of their words. Now, I repeat, I'm not a lawyer, but it would seem to me that there's been a breach of that of Section 6 of the Code. Now, I would just say that in most examples of this kind of prank call, I would think that's the situation. I don't think that the, particularly overseas, I don't think that the people have been approached, unless it's been a kind of candid camera gotcha kind of thing where it happens on air. I'm not aware that they are regularly approached, but I'm surprised to hear Rhys Holleran say that this has happened. They tried to contact them five times. Well, that answers more questions, or that poses more questions, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it shows that they were concerned about it.
If they didn't get through?
Yeah, well, that's the question. I suppose it comes down to a question of whether or not they did everything that was reasonably to be expected of them to get that consent, and then in the absence of getting that consent, whether or not they had an obligation to withhold it, given it was pre-recorded. I mean, I've got friends who've worked in commercial radio, and I know for a fact that when they do these things, particularly if they're pre-recorded, they do ring back and ask for permission as a matter of course. So I could understand that happening. The question, though, is whether or not, when you don't get that consent, what exactly you do about it.
Well, look, we don't have the answers here, do we? It may well be that the hospital, somebody at the hospital did say something. Maybe it wasn't the hospital management. Until Rhys Holleran or somebody at 2Day tells us, we don't know.
What about, just before they go, the judgment about the whole prank to begin with? I mean, it was predicated on an invasion of privacy. That was really the whole thing. Whether or not, whatever the consequences were going to be for the particular nurse.
Well, I confess, when this controversy first broke, my approach to it, having listened to it, was, hey, it's funny. It was a wind-up. What is it? Lighten up, you know?
Mm.
But and I think that would be a natural response in every event except the one we have right now.
Well, do you think it should change?
Apparently, and you're right to point out that this hasn't been confirmed, but it apparently led to another person's death, which turns a jolly jape, a happy prank, into an unmitigated tragedy. Now, where do you go from there? You can have all the inquiries in the world. You can't bring her back. I'm not sure. I'm perfectly sure that the commercial radio industry is self-censored as of now and won't be doing these pranks anywhere for a very long time, if ever again.
Well, Today FM has certainly said that they're not doing that sort of thing in the interim. They've got their own internal processes. We will, of course, see what becomes of it. The story, I got a feeling, has a fair way to develop from here. Mark Day, thank you very much for your insights. Good to talk to you.
Pleasure, William.
Mark Day, one of the first broadcasters on Today FM, former part owner of ACE Victorian Radio Network and currently a media commentator for the Australian newspaper. And just on Facebook, we're getting a lot of your suggestions and your responses to this. Jody Simon says something interesting. He says, this whole episode was ridiculous and should never have been put to air. As a nurse, I know the ramifications these two nurses would suffer. When a nurse breaches a patient's privacy, they can be deregistered. And that raises a really interesting question that isn't really being discussed at all in this, and that is we don't know how the hospital dealt with this. We don't know whether or not there's any influence that that's had on the situation. These sorts of things are not being discussed. And so I'm just wondering what you think. Do you think we're jumping the gun a bit here? Are there a whole lot of unknowns that we're just ignoring at the moment? Or do you think this is the inevitable consequence of that kind of entertainment, that kind of radio culture? Let me know your thoughts. 0418 226 576. 0418 226 576. Or find us on Twitter at RN Drive. It's 22 minutes past 6.